Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in the new year, the minimum wage in New York will go up. It's now $7.25. Jan 1, it'll be $8. It's going to go up to $9 by the year 2016, gradual phase-in. New Jersey will also increase on January 1st. It's going to go up to $8.25 there. Then the New Jersey minimum wage will increase according to the cost of living. That's minimum wage. I think we all get that. There's a debate to be had about it, but there are some other phrases thrown about in different stages of passing into law or being sued over. You got your living wage, you got your prevailing wage, you got your wages of sin. The Bloomberg has been fighting the city council over the living wage. He sued to stop it. He lost. He sued again. We're here with Charlie Herman, who knows all about this stuff as the business and economics editor for WNYC News. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's the living wage?
So the living wage is, you have it in about 130 municipalities across the country, but it's largely a wage that tries to keep a family of four working 40 hours a week, 50 weeks out of the year above the poverty level. It's how much money you would make an hour to not be considered to be poor. And, for a family of four, that would be about $23,000, $24,000. So,
which, by the way, is crazy.
Well,
in real life, you're poor at $23,000.
There's a whole other argument you can have there in terms of the definition of what the poverty level is now. But right now, the federal minimum wage, if you make, the $7.25 an hour, which is the federal wage, you're making about $15,000 a year. So that would be a big increase if you could get the living wage to actually push you up to that higher wage. So that's the living wage. It's the idea of we want to try and keep you out of poverty, get you away from some of these anti-poverty programs that the government or the state government has, and you can support yourself.
Right. And so New York City wasn't trying to pass a living wage as its minimum. It was saying that certain people, certain companies would have to pay.
Exactly. For New York City, what exists right now is if you are a business or a developer that receives about $1 million or more in aid from the city, you have to pay a minimum of $10 an hour to your workers if you include benefits, or you have to give them $11.50 an hour without benefits. And that's the bottom. I mean, that's sort of the lowest. The reality is for a lot of those wages, they may be charging more. They may be paying more because maybe these are, comparable union workers. But the idea is to give at least a bottom for where they go to. Now, this is something that has been approved by the city council. They overrode the mayor. Veto on it. The mayor recently, just about 2 weeks ago, actually filed suit in state court to get it overthrown. So a couple questions here. One, does the new mayor coming in continue that lawsuit? What happens to it? And de Blasio has made some comments, Bill de Blasio, that he might want to expand it beyond just businesses that are doing business with the government, that he may try and make it the law of New York City. And there, you start getting into questions. Can he tell McDonald's this is what you're going to have to pay? Because there's a possibility that that may get overturned, or people would challenge that and say he can't tell what everybody else is going
to
pay.
Right. So you're saying that not only does it seem like de Blasio would not want to sign on to that lawsuit, he would want to expand.
There's been some talk that he wants to try and expand it to more.
But can, once the lawsuit is filed, as a matter of legality, can he, as new mayor, withdraw it?
That's one of the questions we're actually looking into. We're trying to figure out, can you withdraw it? Can you say we're not going to continue? I mean, you see that all the time with prosecutions when, the prosecuting attorneys decide, we're not going to continue this case, or maybe not giving it the full support that it wants.
Right. Or you send your guy to argue it, and maybe he's been up 24 hours before and doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, there's
a tank on purpose.
The issue here is there's a bit of a precedent that's been set. So there's two things in New York City. There's the living wage,
yes,
and then there's the prevailing wage. And the prevailing wage was slightly different. Those would be wages that would be set by the comptroller in New York City, and those would be for certain businesses. If you had let's say the Department of Housing Services that was in a particular building and there was a cafeteria or janitorial services, those would have to pay a particular wage. That was actually overturned by a court and found that the city can't make these wages, that the state actually makes the minimum wage. So that's the concern. Like, if de Blasio perhaps were to get more aggressive and try and push it out, the living wage, try and push out higher wages than what the state is putting into effect, Does that get challenged? Does the whole thing get thrown out by the courts?
Right. And so the prevailing wage, from what I understand, is sometimes called the union wage. And the argument against it as a law is it's usually being paid anyway.
In many cases, it's usually being paid in a way.
And in fact, I've heard, I think Cranes reported that only 500 additional people would benefit from that prevailing wage law.
A small number, yes. And it's a little bit of a nuance. You know, again, it's these people who are doing business with the city. The comptroller sets the rate, kind of looking at what other union rates are to make sure that the city isn't paying people less than what union workers might make. But it's been thrown out.
Even if it affects a small number of people, and of course those people would like bigger salaries, it has affected massive projects like, up in the Bronx, that new ice rink that's being built, right? That was the second. That was the.
This is the second version through. The first was they wanted to create a retail space,
right.
And there was a lot of push to make sure that there were a lot of critics that were pushing to have a living wage, to have these wages that would put the people working there in retail jobs above the poverty level. There was a lot of pushback, and eventually the developer walked away from it altogether.
So let's just pause for a second. So far I've been thinking, or perhaps the listeners have, that, okay, this is the wage paid to the builders, the people actually building the building. But in the case we're talking about, the rule would have been that if they put in a bunch of shops, and if one of those was McDonald's, that McDonald's would have had to pay its workers $11.50 if they don't get benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so that's a little bit different, a little bit more expansive than just the people who, you know, work on that project for 4 months.
Well, the team that's coming in there now that is looking to put in the ice rinks,
yeah.
They've actually come out and said that they are promising to pay every worker a living wage, this,
right.
You know, minimum of $10 an hour with benefits. But they're saying this, they had this commitment to it, but, you know, we'll that's their commitment right now. We'll see where that goes when that actually happens.
Right, and we'll see how the economics of that works out. What do economists say? This is done as a poverty abatement program. What do economists say about how far any of these floors for different kinds of wages go to abating poverty?
You know, I hate to say this, it depends on the economist that you ask,
yeah.
But it really depends on the economist that you ask, because there are a lot of arguments for and against it. In terms of the poverty level, you know, there are a lot of people who will argue that this actually doesn't really raise people out of the poverty rate. In fact, if you make too much money because the wages go up, and if there isn't a change in the federal policies of what poverty is, the level at which you would qualify for benefits, you might end up making too much money. So that example, if you are, you know, now making $10 an hour, one of the proposals out there at the federal level, and you're now making $21,000 a year, if you've got a family of three, like if you have two kids and you're a single parent, you're technically above the poverty level and you would no longer qualify for a lot of benefits that are out there. You get reduced benefits. So, you know, you can raise the minimum wage, but you also have to raise the level at what we define poverty, because you can end up pushing people out of it. So that's one concern. There's also just a worry that, you know, will employers decide we're not going to hire as many people? Or, you know, if we have two openings, we're not going to hire those two because we have to pay more wages. So will it really help unemployment? There's talk that there are other programs that exist out there, like the Earned Income Tax Credit, other things that could help people. You know, the people who make the argument in favor of raising the minimum wage say there's nothing wrong with having these tax benefits, these other benefits, and also raising wages is just a good thing that can help people too.
Right. So I think most economists agree an Earned Income Tax Credit, much more targeted. You know, it wouldn't sweep up the teenager from a middle class family who this, you know, raising the minimum wage isn't necessarily that's not why they changed the law. However, there's something to be said for you get a paycheck, you have more money in the paycheck, you think that, you know, you're doing better.
You're spending more.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's a hard. Like, there was a recent study of economists where they asked them if they raised the minimum wage to $9 an hour, you know, would that make it harder for low-skilled workers to find jobs? And about a third of them said yes, it would be harder for them to find jobs. A third of them said no, it would not be harder for them to find jobs. And a third of them said we're not sure.
Yeah.
So a lot of confusion about what actually the minimum wage would do to the economy, a lot of different perspectives.
You know, even though your answers were sometimes it's confusing and it's ambiguous, I do feel we've gotten answers to these questions. So I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for WNYC News. In just a second, we'll be talking about the decline of evangelical Christianity. Stay with us.